Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington. Home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Frank Fryer Podcast. I'm the Frank Fryer, a.k.a. Father Nicholas, reporting to you all from the Bronx here in New York City. And as I was wrestling with the readings from this past Sunday, and, you know, they were a handful to say the least. You know, we get Christ's second, you know, sort of prediction, his speaking about his upcoming crucifixion, of course, the resurrection in Mark's Gospel. We have that accompanied with also a part of chapter 3 of James's letter, where he really gets into some of the details about what's causing the stress and the fractures and all the fighting amongst the community in which he's writing to. And then, of course, we had a reading from, I believe, the second chapter of the Book of Wisdom, you know, about the wicked's, you know, wicked persons, etc., sort of work against the Holy One of God. You know, the very homily I had to give was going to be offered to our very first Mass in which we started the new year for catechism. So, you know, we have all the children there at, you know, our earliest Mass and et cetera, you know, from about kindergarten up to eighth grade. So a variety of youth, their parents, and et cetera. You know, so how do you speak about these sort of things to kids and whatnot? And as I was wrestling with this, sitting about it, praying over it, you know, a word kept coming into my heart, and that word was harmony. You know, now I've been a big J.R. Tolkien fan, and his, you know, book that he sort of wrote after all, The Great Lord of the Rings and et cetera, The Silmarillion. One of the things that really came out in that text is sort of this song of creation, this song that brought life into being and all that was in being participated in the song. And suddenly things started going off the mark when people started to sing their own songs and get into disharmony with that song of life. And that idea of harmony in relationship to all these readings, and particularly in that tone of discord and strife that is amongst the body of Christ that is the church, I just thought there was such a beautiful connection. Because, I mean, we see in that reading from Wisdom's, I think it's chapter 2, verse 12 to 20, or it's for like 17 to 20, right around there, you know, we see the plots of the wicked against the righteous. And this is one of the things about this, is that as we live in a way that allows us to be joined with Jesus Christ through his grace and et cetera, so we become more like Christ by being like Christ and et cetera, we participate in this sort of beautiful song. We become sort of in harmony with his very existence. And people that are in disharmony, that are, you know, sort of against that song of life, for lack of a better word, if they're, I don't want to put this, if they don't have that ability or that introspection, or if they're not aware or want to challenge themselves or et cetera, basically if they're not a humble person, you know, they'll try to get rid of that source of harmony that by its very presence shines a light on their disharmony, their dysfunction, their ugliness. You know, God is good, God is true, and God is beautiful. And when we grow in our relationship with God and become more like God, we share in this great gift that is his beauty and et cetera. So, of course, the wicked, those that have turned away from the source of beauty, live a life that is, in a way, hugely disordered, but ugly. And that's a very harsh word, but it's a necessary word. And this harmony that Christ gives us, this song of praise that we are able to participate in at the Mass, reminds us that it's not just all about us, and that we are always trying to reach out to another because we are not utterly self-sufficient. So we go into that reading from James, and I love James sort of always keeps people in check. He just has a great way of, and remind you, he's writing to a community that is showing some sort of external pressure and issues and assaults from the culture that is around them and et cetera. And he doesn't lay back. He doesn't call them to mediocrity. He calls them to sanctity. And then he reminds them in very real and stark ways the dangers of selfish ambition and envy and greed, and how these things root, or I should say give a root, a way of nourishing war and conflict and strife amongst people. And again, we see in a tangible way the disharmony of the wicked. you know, and why they might act out their wickedness, and etc. And then we go to that reading in Mark's Gospel. What is it? I believe it's Mark chapter 9, verse 30 to 37, give or take a verse. And we see really this beautiful movement of Christ. I believe this is his second sort of pronunciation, you know, how do I want to put this, like him announcing his death on the cross and resurrection, because he first started with the profession of Peter, and it was really to this small group, the apostles, and now he is saying it still somewhat private, but openly to his disciples, which we are a part of. And we see that they wrestle with this, and how can we live like this, and what does this mean in relationship to life as a whole, and all these sort of questions. He's inviting them into becoming a little bit more in tuned with this sort of harmonious, even though challenging, life of Jesus Christ. And we see right after that teaching, and there being some confusion about it, there is a wrestling amongst the disciples, who's the greatest, and etc. And Christ doesn't chastise them. Instead, he uses it as a teaching option. He's not above or against chastisement. We see him doing that with the Pharisees, and etc., and doing it with Peter. And so he decided to take a different path this time. And he pulls a child in. And he says, you must be like this child, and you must be able to receive a child. You know, and you must be able to receive me as this child has received me, and etc. And this is a real call to humility, to this understanding that we are not utterly self-sufficient, that even though children may act out and etc., they know within their hearts that they need help from others. And they're not afraid to reach out, even though they may not do that in the best ways. They are aware that, you know, they need things from other people. And that's the attitude that we need, this reality that we are not utterly self-sufficient. This sort of insight that in America we try to put forward that we can pull ourselves up by our bootstrap, you know, is somewhat hollow for us Christians, because we realize without Jesus Christ, anything that we try to do would really come to nothing. Even though it might bear some fruit in the world, without Christ sustaining it, it'll come to nothing. So as we go forward, remember, my brothers and sisters, we are called to participate in this great beauty, in this great act of creation. And we do that by becoming more in tune with, through listening to Jesus Christ. So our hearts can learn to beat along with the rhythm of a sacred heart, so we can live in harmony with him and share the gift of that harmony with all those that we meet around us. And I want to leave you with this one thought. The human voice is the very instrument that has been created by God. He wanted us to speak. He gave us his voice. This is the very instrument that he himself wanted to listen to. So let us be not afraid and speak to God this week, but also as we learn to speak to God, make sure we're also taking time to listen to him so we can become more in harmony with him. Thank you very much for your time today, my brothers and sisters. Know that I'm with you. Know that I'm praying for you. May God continue to bless you. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. If you like what I'm doing here on my podcast, please make sure to subscribe to it. Also, check out my website, thefrankfryer.com. At that website, thefrankfryer.com, you can find links to my articles on the Catholic Stand, my blog post. You can find videos from my YouTube channel. You can also send me an email, or if you're discerning a vocation, there's a vocation tab there too. If you write to me, just please make sure you give me some time to reply, because I've been getting a lot of messages recently. So thank you very much for your time today, my brothers and sisters. Know that I'll be praying for you.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.